You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Ala tzadikim, ala tzadikim, v'ala chasidim, v'al zignei amcho beis Yisrael, v'al pleitas sofreim, v'al geiri atzedek, v'aleinu. So we have various categories. The Avodah Zarah and other Rishonim, other Mefarshim, Hasidur, describe the differences between these categories. Most of it is self-explanatory. We start with the tzadikim, and then move on to the chassidim. The first question we have to ask is, what is this bracha doing here? Every bracha is inserted into its rightful place for a specific reason. Now let's take a look at the Tur. The Tur writing in Ochos Tfilin Or Chaim Simkuf Yud Ches. He's in the midst of delineating for us the seder of the bracha Sishmon Esrei, and writes the Tur as follows. Shlosh Esrei, the 13th bracha in Shmon Esrei, is Ala Tzadikim. And why were Anshei Knesset Gedolim, we went through the Sigyan Brochas last week, and why were they masaking this Brocha ala Seder B'Yavna? Why did it come on the heels of cursing the Minim? The Apikorsim, we said, Min is Rosh Tevas, those who are Mamine Yesho Notzri, those who believe in Yashka, that's a Min in Apikores. They believe in Yeshua Notzri, that's a Min. It's on the heels of the Klola of the Minim. Only then can we talk about the Brocha that's going to then be geared targeting the Tzadikim. Kevin Shekolo Aminim, Misro Memes, Karnas HaTzadikim. And once we've gotten rid of all the Minim and all the Apikursim, then we can be Marom and we can elevate and uplift the Karnei Hod of the Tzadikim. Heads of Yonas and Aishitz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain amount of Shefa Brocha that he plans on administering to the world. So it's a bracha for tzaddikim that there's so many rishonim, because now they don't have to divide it. And the end of the day, right, from Yonas and Aishitz in Yaros Davash, Hashem's going to punish the rishon, punish the minim and not be korsim, and save all of that bracha that he was going to bestow upon the world, and now is geared solely towards the tzaddikim. And where do we see such a concept? All right, the Tur, Pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitul Hayin, Hey, Pasuk in Aleph. The Chol Karnei Rishon Agadeo, to Ramamna Karnos Tzadiks. Hashem's going to break down the Rishoyim, and he's going to uplift the Karnei Hod, the not towards the shining light of the Tzadikim, and that's the Brocha that comes in the heels of Olam Hashina. But whom do we include in such a bracha? Obviously, we have a tzaddik who does everything kedas v'kedin. We have the chassidim agol l'fnim eshor sedin. And then we have the ziknei amcha beis Yisrael. And we have the zakenim. Now, we don't mean stam elders. We're talking about what? Hagemara and Kedusha on my base, Ein zaken ela misha kana chokma. Mora says that the word zaken itself is indeed a contraction of the two words zekana. This person acquired. And it's the Pnei Yeshua. So how do we know Zekana Chachma? What other acquisition is there to go and appraise a person by? And the end of the day, what are you appraising by? Zekana Chachma. Hadarta Pnei Zokain. The one Kenyan that matters more than any other Kenyan in the world is the Kenyan of Tyre, is the Kenyan of Chachma. That's a Zokain Zekana. A Zekana Chachma. In fact, I saw not too long ago an amazing Chidah. He writes that why we machabe the zaken? Why do we honor a person? Again, we have the Mishnah and Ovis, Parakei Mishnah Chavalev, Ben Shishim Lezikna. Already up to 60 years old, and there's already an element of Zikna, and then Seva comes at 70, Shivim Seva. What's this idea? Achido writes that he's soon a safer. That's not some experience. With age comes experience. No, on a practical level, everybody who goes through a Shabbos, we know that why is Bris Milah on day number 8? Many different reasons. One reason the Medrash says is that every child should go through a Shabbos. Dahainu, after you absorb and you imbue into the newborn child the Shabbos, oh, then he's a different child. Now you give him a Bris Milah. So we need the Shalom Zachar, and only after you made it through a Shabbos, then we can have a Bris Milah. So writes the Chidah, Zokin had so many more Shabbosos in Yom Tovim than a younger guy. Someone who's 60, 70, and 80, imagine how many Shabbosos he's experienced in his life. He had so many Shabbosos, so many Yom Tovim, so much of Kedusha, Shabbos, and Yom Tovim already went through his Neshama. And the end of the day, even if he didn't absorb it, like Rishon Frankfurt used to say, go to a shiur. Even if you're falling asleep, it goes in one ear and out the other, but at least it made its way into the brain in between. And I left the Roshim, it made a mark, right? That at least went in somewhere. Shabbos and Yom Tov, even a person who wasn't the Lamaisa transformed, metaphysically, of course, it transforms the person. That's one idea of being Machabed is okay.
Have a gear.
Okay, so the Vali, you have to be machabed him as well.
We had those shabbosos.
Ah, so that's a different story. This is another one of the milas. Vada, there's the experience with another mila. But, in fact, there's a great story that Rav Holbaum just shared when he was here. And it's quite, no gay, it's relevant because we're going to talk about gay riyatzedek, they're included. So Rav Holbaum shared, he says there was a guy, let's just say in Williamsburg, and he was collecting stock on the street, and he was just getting coins. He says there was a guy in another corner, he was getting dollar bills. I says, what's going on here? I'm getting coins. I'm collecting in this street corner. He's collecting in that street corner. Why am I getting coins? And he's getting bills. And he goes over the guy. He says, tell me, what's the secret? How do you do it? He says, well, you got to look like a chassid. First thing is, you look like a regular guy. You got to put on the lavush. Get some payas for chulay. Get the chassidish hat, the lavush. And you'll see, you'll get some more money if you look like a chassid. So sure enough, he dons the appropriate garb. And next thing you know, he's getting dollar bills. He's getting bills. And then he sees a guy in another corner. And this other guy's getting $5 bills. He's getting $1 bills. He says, tell me. I says, how do you do it? I'm getting singles and you're getting fives. What's the trick? I says, I'll tell you the truth. He says, I'm a ger. I says, I'm a ger. I says, and people know they have to miss a ger. And you got to love the gerim. You got to give more money to gerim. As he buys a sign and he writes in huge letters, I am a ger. I'm a ger tzedek. And all of a sudden, he's getting $5. Everyone else is getting one, collecting my money. He's getting $5. And then he hears about a guy 2 blocks away, and this guy's getting $10 a pop. I says, Tarih, the Lamanani Tarih, what's going on here? How is he getting $10? I'm only getting $5. As he approaches him 2 blocks later, he says, tell me, what's the trick? I says, I tell everybody, I'm an Enochol of the Baal Shem. I'm an Enochol of the Baal Shem Tov. He says, and that's why I'm getting $10. If, oh, it's great. He buys 2 signs. One sign says, I'm a ger. And the next sign says, I'm an Enochol of the Baal Shem Tov. And he's not getting any money. At the end of the day, as a mila to being a tzaddik, as a mila to being a ger. And a lot of a person can have both, in a certain sense. He was talking about you can't have the best of both worlds. You can't have mamish everything in this world, but you see there are milas. So writes the Torah as follows. Kolo geirim ima tzaddikim, because let's go to the posuk in Chumash, Vayikra Yates and Parshas Kedoshe, and we talk about Mnei Seva Takim Adar Tepnei Zalkein, and that's the last posuk of the third Aliyah in Yates Lamed Beis, and we have to be Mahadar, we have to give kavod and honor, respect to the Pnei Zalkein. Immediately thereafter, what do we read in Pasuk Lamed Gimel? You're going to have a ger. In fact, Ibn Ezra explains what's shot in the juxtaposition. Writes the Ibn Ezra, even though the Baal HaTurim, who's the author of the Torah, has a different understanding, and it gives a few different approaches. The Ibn Ezra writes, His kiro achar zokin hatam, kasher zartich l'chabid hazokin ha-yisraeli b'avor shein lo koach. The zokin, the older person, they need help. They need help walking, they need help getting around. They need to see you all. They need you to help them out. And so too the ger. And the ger is v'atzucha b'reshuscha. But he's a stranger in your land. He also needs help. You got to go and help him out. Amela, there's a connection. Here the Torah says, and what do we see? That Anshei Knesset Gedolah, since the Torah described v'chi yagur cha ger, made mention of a ger, right after talking about the pasuk about that, okay, you see that there's a connection there, for they put in the same bracha. You have the tzaddikim, you have the chassidim, the ones who do kedasakidim, the ones who go the finim ashur sedin. You have the ziknei amcha beis Israel. I know the zikanim are the elder ones, but again, it really means elder and chachma, zekana chachma. Our pleita sofreim, the remnant of the scribes, we'll explain that in a second, and then the geiri hatzedek, and then the aleinu, and then upon us. So writes the Torah as follows. Amela, we put Gerim together in the same parsha, just as we see the Kavanah Satorah was. Ve'yeshba kol alpha besa. Every letter of the alpha base is in the bracha of Al Tzidikim. This 13 bracha in Shemon Esrei contains therein every letter of the alpha base. Why? Hashem, answer us, leman the Tzidikim, and the oskei Torah secha, asei manu chesed. We're asking our Kodesh Baruch Hu, all of the Torah, all of the Bria, that was created al yedei l'chof ezos yosei the alpha base. Every letter makes an appearance in Al Tzidikim. Ve'schus the Tzidikim and the chassidim Hashem. And go on and give us a bracha. And Chaim Kanevsky writes, and Derech Sicha, what do we say in Shema Kaleinu? Here we are approaching Slichus, and we say, Ruach Kodesh, Tikachmena. What Ruach HaKodesh? Do we have Ruach HaKodesh? That Rizal writes in Sefer Gagulim. The only time we have Ruach HaKodesh when it comes to the naming of a child, when you name a child, that's a gift that comes Ruach HaKodesh, even if you don't understand it. That's a present that Hashem gives you Ruach HaKodesh when it comes to naming a child. How do you know after this grandchild, after this grandparent, that grandparent? At the end of the day, it's Ruach HaKodesh. Sometimes you need someone else's involvement and finding the Ruach HaKodesh. You need to discuss names with someone. We mentioned in the past, certain rabbi, you had to do a naming once for a girl. And it came time to the Kriya Sashay, and he says, tell me, he says, what name do you want to name your daughter? He says, Michaela Yardena. He says, it's a beautiful name. Where does it come from? Michaela Yardena. He says, Rabbi, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Michael Jordan, Michaela Yardena. Okay, so sometimes you need to discuss the Shaila. The truth is the Marshal, Paradalit of Gittin, the Amsha Shlomo, he once resolved the Machlekes. He had Mechutanim who would fight it. Because one's parent's name was Meir, and one's parent's name was Ori. So these Mechutanim wanted the new grandchild, the new Enikol, to be named Meir, and this one wanted Ori. So they came to the Marshal to make a Pshara. And so what was the Pshara? Let's name the son. This is in Yamsha Shlomo and Paradalit of Gittin. Name the son Shneir. What is Shneir? Shneor, the two lights, the light of Meir and the light of Ori. This one wanted Meir, this one wanted Ori. Comes along the Marshal, I got a Pshara. Shneir. Shneir is Shneor. And Shneor, you got the two Oros. And the day of Ani, you make a Pshara. That's Ruach HaKodesh. Who are the Baalei Ruach HaKodesh? Bavabashi Yid Beis Aman Aleph, Chochem Adif Minavi. And Rabban writes that a Tama Chochem through his Yigi and Amelitz with Torah, he gets sprinkled, he gets a nice dosage of Ruach HaKodesh. Amela, the Baalei Ruach HaKodesh, I'll take Achimena. It's not Ruach HaKodesh, don't take away your Ruach HaKodesh from me, from you, etc. From the Gedolim, who are Zocha to a Bechin of Ruach HaKodesh, and don't take those leaders away. And so those are the Zikne Amcha, those are the Zekona. Amela, we have all the Aleph Beis. Hashem besus them and their merit, please bestow endless and abundant chesed upon us. Why are there 42 words in the bracha? Because we just said, writes the Torah, that the ideas expressed in the 13th bracha are based on the pasuk v'chol kari v'shama gadeya choramana karnos tzadik, the tzadik l'umas d'l'v'la moshinim l'minim and apikorsim. There are 7 words in that pasuk. And then we have the pasuk v'nei seva tokov, and then we have the pasuk afterwards. So this bracha was based on those 3 psukim, and there are 42 words memela in the bracha. Can I get the 42 words that are in this pasuk? And that's the idea of giving us the remez that this bracha was meyusad on 3 distinct psukim. And that's the tour. So now let's take a closer look as we break down the bracha piecemeal. On the heels of Allah, Malshinim Hashem, please, and make sure they don't have any hope, and destroy all the riches, all the wickedness, and make sure all the plans of the nefarious ones are not going to materialize. On the heels of that, Allah Tzadikim. And what do we want? We're going to say in a second, Yemunu Rachmach Hashem Akin, Hashem should go ahead and bestow His Rachmach upon us, and give us Schato L'chol Abotchem. And so, what categories of clients do we have? We have the Tzadikim, and we have the Chassidim. We have the Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael. We have the Zakenim, the leaders, the elder ones, who are the ones who are Zekon HaChachmo. We have Pleitas Sofreya. So who are these Pleitas Sofreya? All right, Rav Shimon Schwab and Rav Shimon Schwab on Tefillah. On the remaining teachers of Torah. So typically, Sofreyim refers to people who teach Torah. Sofer is not Stam a scribe, one who writes Torah Shemasav. And this situation, in this context, it's a reference primarily to those who teach the Torah. Based on the Medrash and Vayikra Rabbah, Sofrim Umashinim Shemalavdim Tinokis Lamitam, the ones who teach the children, those are called Sofer. So we're talking about teachers of Torah. So why are they called the Pleitas? Why is it called the remnant? We know Shever Sapleita. Those select individuals who choose to teach Torah are called Pleitim, the few remaining ones, right, to Schwab, because most people do not become Torah teachers. And most people do not end up becoming teachers of Torah, since their task is usually not appreciated and it doesn't pay very well. And nevertheless, these are his words, not mine. Nevertheless, the Sofrim, the Torah teachers of the Jewish nation, are of such importance that without them we would cease to exist as Am Yisrael. And we mentioned just recently how the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sephardi chief rabbi, Rabbi Yitzhak Yosef, once sat for an hour and a half with the president of Russia, with Vladimir Putin. And he started explaining to Rabbi Yosef what Greek culture is, what Egyptian culture is, what Roman culture is. And he kept explaining and expounding on the topic. It seemed to be a history lesson. And then Putin turned to me suddenly, surprising me, and asked me, "Honorable Rabbi, tell me, all the other cultures disappeared. Who remembers Greek culture today? Who knows what Roman culture or Egyptian culture is today? And nobody knows what these are anymore. But you, the Jewish nation, you remain. Can you explain to me? How is it that you remain and all those other cultures were erased from the world? Now please, Rabbi, give me an explanation for this." So he says, Rabbi Yosef, I started explaining. Putin cut him off. Said, "Don't answer me. I'm going to answer you." What did he tell me? Remember, he's not Jewish and he's not someone who came back to Judaism. He's the non-Jewish president of half the world of Russia. And what did he tell me? He told me, you remain in the merit of your rabbis and of your Torah. Your rabbis spread Torah, and in merit of this you remain. And people teach Torah. People learn Torah. It's in the merit of Torah. Torah is what's keeping Klal Yisrael going. And that's the place of Sofreya. And even though it's a remnant, there aren't so many people who are involved in teaching Torah. And that is the idea of the remaining ones, the teachers of Torah. So continues Rav Schwab. After we're mispalo for the Zikne Amcha Beis Yisrael, those who are indispensable to us in our efforts to lead our lives in accordance with the letter and spirit of the Torah, because they're the leaders, they're manhigim, the gedolei hador, and they're the ones, like Rabbi Akiva Eger writes in Rabbi Akiva Eger LaTorah Parshas Ki Savo, every day before Kriya Shema, what do we say in Avarabo? V'hore neidim asur sech Hashem, light up my eyes in Torah. Ask Rabbi Akiva Eger, you're going to tell me every time Dick and Harry are saying to Hashem, light up my eyes in Torah. I really mean it? No, he says, it means light up the eyes of the Einei Ha'eda. What does the Pusuk say in Shlach? Chapter 15, Pusuk 24. The Einei Ha'eda are the leaders of the generation. Light up their eyes, illuminate, guide them. Let them see the future. Yisro Chacham. Atamun Lamed Beis Amin Aleph Haru Esanolat. Let them see the future and let me be able to go ahead and follow in their path, in their footsteps. Let me go ahead and follow on their heels. Afterwards, we must follow for the select few remaining Torah teachers of our children and the Pleita Sofreya. The Rebbeim will practice their holy craft with a mysterious nefesh out of love of teaching Torah. Amelie says, we're more or less summarizing the Gedolei Torah, the Manhigim, and the Marbitzei Torah. So let's take it through again. Ala Tzadikim Ala Chasidim, on the Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael, on the Pleita Sofreim, those who are the disseminators of Torah, who teach Torah to the generation. And then the Geirei HaTzedek. I mean, after Masegir, we have to go out of our way to love the Geirei HaTzedek. And then the Aleinu, and then all of us, all the Hamonah. And what should Hashem do? Yemunu Rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu. And the end of the day, what do we want? Yes, it's Hashem Elokeinu. Sometimes Hashem is Noeg Klapei Klal Yisrael, as Hashem Midas Rachamim. And sometimes Hashem is Elokeinu. We do things that warrant Midas Adin. Over here, what do we say? We group them together. It is Hashem Elokeinu. Sometimes Hashem, sometimes Elokeinu. But Yemuna Rachamecha, Hashem Elokeinu. May your mercy be activated, Hashem, our God. We want Hashem's mercy. He's Malei Rachamim, but we don't always feel it. And then, what are we asking? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make it evident for all of mankind. And that's the idea. Activate it. We know it's always there, but sometimes it's there behind the scenes. Yemunu Rachamecha is Hashem, please activate it. Whether you're acting klapei Klal Yisrael as Hashem, or whether you're acting klapei the Jewish people as Elokeinu, please always activate your Midas HaRachamim. And the same Tzachar Tov L'chol Abotchim, and the Shimcha Bemes. And we ask Hashem to give us a Matana, and the same to give us Schar Tov. Hashem, give us Schar Tov. What in the world is this mean? What does it mean, give us schar? How in the world could you ask for giving us schar? Asks Rav Mecklenburg, the Ksava Kabbalah, and his parish Ian Tfila on the Siddur. I don't understand what this means. The Saint Sakharto. Either you did a mitzvah and you're supposed to get schar, or you didn't do a mitzvah and you're not supposed to go and get schar. So what are we asking Hashem? Give us schar to? He says, if we're asking, give us a matana of schar, writes Rav Mecklenburg in his Ian Tfilo, it means because we know at the beginning of our Tfilo Sashachar, what do we say every single morning when we get up? We talk about different mitzvahs. Eilu Dvar Mishal Democha Perasem Olam Hazeh. Yeah, Keren Kayim Solom Haba. So we have a whole category based on the mission of Peah of mitzvahs that we get schar not just in Olam Haba, we get schar in this world, but other mitzvahs. We don't really get the schar in this world. We get the schar in the next world. The whole sugi at the end of the first parak of kedushin, lamatessan beis that schar b'hai amaleka. The real schar is not in this world. So we're asking Hashem to do what? To give us schar. About the mitzvahs that are guaranteed schar in this world, we don't have to ask Hashem for that. Of course, what are we going to say? Hashem is not make a pay schar koberio. Of course, Hashem is going to give us the schar. Ani Hashem, anemol neshalim secharchem. Of course, I'm going to give you the due compensation. I'm going to reward you. Ella what? When does Hashem give us schar that we can be markers as tov right here in this world? After all, let's ask another kash, as many before should do. The same schar tov, give us good schar. What do you mean? Schar is good. Of course, schar is good. The schar that we're all getting from mitzvahs, for the limud haTorah, the mitzvahs wants to tov in the next world, of course that's intrinsically inherently good. We don't question that. That's always going to be good. We're asking, right, Rav Mecklenburg, that you told us, Hashem, when it comes to Kibbutz Avayim, Gemilas Chasadim, and all the listing as we recited that morning, those we get not just the ultimate great Schar in Olam Haba, but we get Peirusei and Olam Hazeh. So that's what we're asking, Hashem. We have so many mitzvahs that don't guarantee to have Schar Tov Machmaseihem due to them here in this world. So those are the ones, he says, that's what we're asking. We're asking Hashem, Avada, we know the ultimate Schar, that of course is good, is waiting for us in the next world. But even before we get to the next world, Hashem, the Saint Sachar Tov, can we please have Sachar Tov in this world? Can we have a Sachar Tov in this world that we can be Margish the Tov? And a Sachar that we have to ask for, because that's not guaranteed. Because most mitzvahs are not giving you the Sachar, the Peiros to enjoy in this world. Sachar B'Hayah Malako. We don't really have it in this world. So what are we asking for? Please, Hashem, let us have the Sachar Tov. But for what? For the mitzvahs? What are we questioning? Chazal? Sachar B'Hayah Malako. So if Hashem already told you, you don't get the Sachar. So you don't get the Sachar. So what are we asking for? All right, Sir Mecklenburg. Who? What are we asking it for? We're not asking for the mitzvah. We want the Sachar Tov. Why? For being a Boteach in Hashem. That's a separate mitzvah. To be a Baal B'tochen says what, Hashem? I'm going to do a mitzvah. But just by doing the mitzvah B'tochen, which the truth is, and many Mepharshim point this out, there might not be any actual mitzvah called B'tochen. And there's an Indian that we see is bandied all about Tanakh, that the Nevi'im continuously stress, and Emunah is the first mitzvah. But Emunah B'tochen, without getting into the Machlokes, Ramban, Chazanish, they're not necessarily the same thing. Emunah is, I believe in Hashem. Yes, Rambam says for mitzvah, that's mitzvah number one. There's no separate mitzvah called B'tochen. We see Avotech Hashem, Chesed Yisrael, Venu Tehillim. We see there's a milo of bitochen, but it's not a separate mitzvah. So what are we asking schar tov? Hashem, I'm not asking schar for the mais mitzvah that I did. If you didn't tell me that it's guaranteed to give me payrus in this world, I'm not going to have the chutzpah, the audacity to say, no, Hashem, give it to me anyway. I'm asking for the socher that I can feel and sense is tov for me in this world. For being a what? For being a moteach. Let me get the schar for being a moteach. Al-chala both chas, the same way Rabbeinu Bachai writes in Karakemach and Yonah Simcha, for every mitzvah that you do with Simcha, you don't just get more schar because you did the mitzvah b'simcha. It's a separate mitzvah called doing the mitzvah b'simcha. And the schar that you're going to get for the mitzvah of simcha b'shas le'asiyas ha-mitzvah, all right, so Rabbeinu Bachai, is going to be even greater than the ma'aseh mitzvah. And we're asking for Socher Tov in this world, for just being a Boteach Hashem, for relying on Hashem, for knowing and recognizing that everything good in this world comes solely from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and from nobody
else. You are
else.
Listening to Ben's so, Torah.
And we have a Bakasha. We're asking Hashem to please give us a Socher Tov, a good award. And again, we know that we never ask for award. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos Aleph Gimel, Atzig Mishisocha Haya Omer, we don't want to do the mitzvah sechar. In Echanami, that's exactly the point. Hashem, the mitzvah, whatever my schar is for the mitzvah, I'll gladly wait until the next world. I'm not expecting that due reward here in this world. What I'm asking for is Hashem, but I'm mustering up the strength to be a Baal B'tochen, to recognize that whatever bruch I'm going to get in this world comes, ach, the rock from you. That's it, there comes nothing here, the briskerov. And the Tosefus Maaserov is a great mashal of briskerov. Everyone talks about the machloekes, bitochen, ishtalus, how much is bitochen, how much is ishtalus. He says, but if you're a boteach, b'shimcha b'emes, if you rely exclusively on the borei olam, then you don't need to do any ishtalus. Says, briskerov, he says, I'll give you a mashal. He says, you have a guy who's riding on a donkey, and he's got a big load that he put onto the donkey, a big hole, and then he's also heavy, so he's also sitting on the donkey. So the donkey's carrying this individual, and it's carrying the heavy load. All of a sudden he sees that the donkey is starting to crouch, and you see that he's so built, too much of a load. So what is this Meshuggah going to do? He takes the load, and he says, oh, let me spare the donkey. Instead, he puts it on his shoulders. Let me put the load on my shoulders, and this one. And the Meshuggah doesn't realize, it doesn't matter where you moved it to. And so now it's on your shoulders. But the donkey is still carrying the identical weight. So instead of being on its back, and being now it's on you. Briskerov says, Hayah, you tell Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know what? Hashem, I'm somach on you. But you know, I'm going to do some things on my own as well. I'm going to go and do some things on my own, but I'm somach on you. We mentioned in the past a great story, true story, of the Mogen Avos of Rav Mordechai Benet. Mordechai Benet had a Talmud, was a Bali Tachan, he was a Masmid, and he couldn't pay the bills, and it was scaring all of his learning. So he came to his Rebbe in Europe, and he said, Rebbe, he says, I want to learn for many years, Basmati, but I don't have any money. So the Mogen Ovis, Mordechai Benet, says, I'll tell you what, there's a lottery in town, and I remember, Moshe Feinstein already paskin, it's not a chisun of Bitochon to go and play the lottery. You're going to play Powerball. You're not going to win the 700, I think it's one in 292 million. You probably won't win it. It's probably not good for you, and it's probably not good for any Orthodox Jew to win and be in the media and the public press like that. But Rabbi Ramosha says it's not a chisar. So Tamidim Ramosha even said, Ramosha, you've been recommended it. I'll buy a lottery ticket. Buy once a week. I had a rabbi friend. I had a friend of mine whose father was a rabbi growing up. I was buying for Shabbos. And I'll tell you, it's nothing wrong. It was Rabbi Benjamin Bloch. I was friendly with the son growing up. And after I spent the Shabbos at the house, so he was driving me back. He says, "Your mom, we're going to stop at a store." So I said, "Why?" Every Motzei Shabbos, he would stop and he would buy the lotto. And he would buy a lotto ticket. And the African-American owner of the store chipped in 50 cents on the dollar. Says, "It cost a dollar." He said, "Rabbi Bloch, I'm giving," because he thought the rabbi was going to win. And he says, "The rabbi's going to win. I'm going to split the pot." So he gave 50 cents. Rabbi Bloch gave 50 cents. And they did this for years. I don't know, at least to this point in time, I don't believe Rabbi Bloch ever won. Unless he won, he didn't tell us about it. How about we would have heard about it? How about in the end, he wanted to go and split it. So there's no chisaron, you can go ahead and buy the lottery ticket. So Mordechai Benet told us, Talmud, again, this wasn't $750 million. It wasn't even a beginning parable of $40 million. But it was a nice amount of money that we would have been able to support his family, a few $100,000. So he told us, Talmud, he says, I want you to pick these six numbers. Put in these six numbers and you'll see, you'll be okay. So he goes home that night. And he takes off his hat and he rips up a whole bunch of pieces of paper. Let's say 40 numbers, whatever it is. Now, Powerball 60 numbers. Well, let's say he had 40 numbers. Rips it out to little pieces of paper, puts into a hat. And he picks out six random pieces of paper. And sure enough, it's these same six numbers that his Rebbe Mordechai Benet just gave him. So now he's really excited. That's it, I'm going to win. I'm going to win tomorrow. He goes and he enters the six numbers. And he looks. And next thing you know, he didn't win. He didn't win. He can't figure it out. He goes to his Rebbe the next day. He says, Rebbe, he says, the six numbers. He says, I entered the six numbers and I didn't win the lottery. And Mordechai Benet says, tell me. He says, did you test me the night before? He says, Rebbe, how'd you know? He says, because I asked Hashem for a gift for the six numbers so that you could stay in learning. But the only way is if you're a boteach b'Hashem be'emes. And you have to believe that as a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you had to test. You had to go that night and to test. That means you weren't boteach b'emes. And you didn't really believe. What do we read in Tehillim? Kepeton and Hei Pasach Chav Gimel. Hashlech al Hashem Yehavcha Hu Yechakalecha. You got to cast it all onto Hashem. What do you do, Hashem? You know, I'm going to help you out, Hashem. I'm going to help you out. You carry and I'm going to carry too. If you're a boteach b'emes, you give it all your Yisomech on Hashem. And that's the Saint Tzachatov L'kol Abod Chemishim Chav B'emes. So what's the superfluous word of the kol? Listen to it. El Yelopiana L'Lev L'Yom. We have a grot. And the girl writes and tell him on that pasuk, Lamed Beis Yud, a rabbi machovim the Rasha. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. Vabateach Hashem chesed yisuv. But someone who trusts in Hashem, kindness, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always surround him. And that's the pasuk in the Lamed Beis, pasuk Yud of Tehillim. So the Chovas HaLevavos, Shar Mitochan, he's of the opinion, Chovas HaLevavos, that the only way you're going to get your tefillos answered is you still have to be a certain level of a tzaddik. Meaning, bitochon alone ain't going to do the trick. Bitochon alone is not going to guarantee you that your tefillos are going to get answered. You have to make sure you don't have too many aveiros. You got to make sure you're still a good person. And the Vilna Gaon argues in his Machadesh, and the Vilna Gaon writes that if you are boteach Hashem emes, even if you're Rasha, that means if you're a ganav and you're going into someone's house at night to steal, and you say, Hashem, I know I'm not going to be successful without you. I'm going to rob this person's house, but I know that I can't do it successfully without you. I'm so much on you 110%. Hashem might answer his tefillos, even though he's a Rasha. That's boteach Hashem chesed yisov emes. And that's the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Machov and the Rasha. That's in the same breath, in the same pasuk. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. And even if you're a Rasha, and you're tasting sorrows of life, but if you're a boteach Hashem, still chesed yisov emes. That's the chiddush of the Gaon. Even if you're a Rasha, if you have the midah bitochon, Hashem will still answer your tefillos. So right from Eliyahu Lopian, that's the mention of the kol. The same Tzachar Tov, and we want a different type of schar. The real schar, that's for the next world. And this is for the bitochon, even though that's something that wouldn't typically give us schar, good schar in this world, we're asking to see the tov in the schar that we get for being Bali bitochon. For whom? Lechol habot chem v'shimcha v'emes. What's l'chol? Why not just say lebotchem shimcha be'emes? All right, so v'el yolopiyal l'chol is afilu the rishoyim. If you're a botech Hashem be'emes, l'chol everyone, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, any Reuven, Shimon, or Levi. You could be a Rosh and Marusha. You could be someone who has no mitzvahs to his credit, an FOPK. If you're a botech b'shimcha and Hashem Yisroel's name be'emes, truthfully, you really believe it. That's it. You can get. You can get. I mentioned the case, I have to mention again, because he wasn't a religious Jew. I had an Eretz Yisrael for some time. I had a traditional Sephardi cam driver. Traditional Sephardi cam driver. His name was Nissan. His name was Miracles. I've said over the story that one time he was driving me in a Motzei Shabbos. Says, Rabbi, he says, do you mind if I stop at the Makola and I buy a lottery ticket? I said, Nissan, what do you have to buy? He says, I'll tell you the story. He says, years ago, I said, a while back, he said, I had a dream. And I dreamt six numbers for the pious for the national lottery in Israel. I dreamt the six numbers. I woke up in the morning and I remembered the six numbers vividly. So I went, I entered them in the lottery. I didn't win. I entered it for 6 months and I didn't win. Says one Motzei Shabbos, I was driving a couple and it was getting close to 12 o'clock and you have to buy the ticket by 12 o'clock. And I said, you know what? I haven't won in 6 months. I could skip 1 week. And Sunday morning, he opens up the newspaper and he sees it was those six numbers. He says, Rabbi, I didn't get out of bed for 3 days. 15 million shekel. Okay, 15 million shekel. He would have won about 5 million. At that time, the shekel was about 3. He would have won about $5 million. He says, I decide I'm never missing again. I hope you don't mind. I'm sorry. I said, Nissan, you had your chance. That's it. That's it. Don't waste your time. You're wasting your money. He hasn't won since. God gave you a gift. What does he mean? He really believed. God gave him a gift and he believed he was going to win with those six numbers. I said, even if he wasn't a religious Jew, even if he wasn't doing something, he believed that it's God. But it wasn't the MS. Why? Because if you really believed it, you would never skip a Motzei Shabbos. If you really believe these numbers, you're going to win with these numbers. 10 minutes to 12, you're not going to skip it. You're going to go on and buy the ticket. But if you're a Kol Botech Hashem Chames, then you can go ahead and have the Tefillah answered. And then what do we say? And we want our chelek to be with them. To be with who? I'm a first to explain. It can't be with the tzaddikim and chassidim. You know, let everybody else be a tzaddik and a chassid. And I'm going to just, Hashem, I want to be in their chelek. You can't just want to be in their chelek. You got to do something. Ella what? I will be. How can I ask to be if I'm a b'tech Hashem b'emes? If you're an emes, if you're moser nefesh for bitochon, and you live your life as an emes, think about bitochon, then you could be together with the tzaddikim and the chassidim. And we have to mention that famous story. It was even written up in last year Mishpacha magazine. I mentioned the story of Baruch Leib Steinman. A true story. I heard it somebody in my office who was in the room. He heard it from someone who was in the room at Shas Maisa. A well-to-do individual walked into Baruch Leib Steinman last year. And he said to Steinman, he says, here's a blank check. He says, I'm going to put in the number $500,000. I want to sit near the Rosh Hashiva in Olam Haba. Here's the $500,000. I want to be sitting near the Rosh Hashiva in Olam Haba. So Rabbi Leib Steinman says, okay, I'll tell you what. He says, hold on 1 second. And he says, Yaakov, he says, call up so-and-so who runs all the Chinuchi HaYeshivas in Bnei Brak. Find out how much all the outstanding debts are in Bnei Brak, how much we need to cover all the outstanding debts, and to go in and pay all the Rebbeim salaries for the rest of the year. So he gets back to him a few minutes later, checked out with the head of the Vada of the Chinuchi HaYeshivas, and he says, $3 million. Rabbi Leib Steinman turns to this balabas from America. And obviously he knew. He says, if you write out the check now for $3 million, you could sit near me in the Olam Haba. Wow, I wish I had $3 million. At the end of the day, Kolecha Kefi Dargosa. But he told this Gevir, if you give me, and the Gevir, he said, I can't do it. Can't do it. He said, then please leave. Gave up a chance. The Gabbai said, what's Pshah? He says, this person isn't a multimillionaire. A multimillionaire, he would have given me $3 million to sit here. He says, I know, he's a well-to-do guy. He says, but $500,000 for him. He knows. He's not a chutzpah. He knows it's a lot of money. For him, it's a lot of money. But it didn't hurt. He didn't really feel the pinch. He wasn't moser nefesh to give me $500,000. For him to give me a check of $3 million, he would have had to sell his house. He would have had to sell his house and his car. He would have had to lease a car. And he would have had to buy a much smaller house. And he would have had to change his lifestyle. And Rabbi Arnold Leishtagman says, he can't be near me on the LMS. Why? He says, because I was most in the first my whole life with Torah. He says, so you're going to be Yisachar Zvulun. The Zvulun who is supporting the Yisachars, they're going to be right near the Yisachars. Why? Because they're most in the first. So they're most in the first. Yisachar is most in the first for Torah. And if you're Zvulun and you're making money and you're giving away a lot of your money to support Yisachars, you better believe that. That's what Sirah's now is, to give over your hard-earned money to the Yisachars. Amar that's Mesiras Nefesh. He says, for him to give over 500,000, it didn't hurt so much. That's not Mesiras Nefesh. He could be by me in Olam Emes if he, in his financial status, if he would give me $3 million, that would be such a level of Mesiras Nefesh. That would be on par with my Mesiras Nefesh for Torah. He would be able to be in my section, and my Chivuk in Olam Haba. But he didn't do it. He didn't do it. Couldn't do it. It's like the Bochur who came and drunk from Radin to the Chavetz Chaim in Purim time. And he wouldn't leave the room. And he was drunk, and the people said, oh, get him out of the Chavetz Chaim. He said, no, let him stay. He says, and he came to the Chavetz Chaim. He says, I have to be near the Chavetz Chaim in Olam Haba. I have to be near the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim said, okay. He says, if you promise me right here and now that you will never speak Lashon Hara for the rest of your life, you could be right near me in Gan Eden. And the Bochur couldn't do it. And he left. Chavetz Chaim said he lost a golden opportunity. It's hard. It's Mesiras Nefesh. It takes sweat. It's hard. So a person can be his ruler and go ahead and give it up. In fact, Amos Bunim writes in his biography of his father, Rabbi Bunim, A Fire in the Soul, says one time his father, Rabbi Bunim, was sitting next to Rabbi Keller at a Lakewood dinner. And he turns to Rabbi and he says, you know, Rabbi, and he says, Lakewood, he says, you know, there would be no Lakewood without me. I'm supporting the yeshiva. He says, you know, I'm going to be right near you in the Olam HaEmes. He says, I don't know what you're tired of, Rabbi, but I'm going to be right near you in the Olam HaEmes. Rabbi says, you're right. You're right, Yisachar Zvulun, you can be right near me. He says, so what Maila do you have over me? He says, because I have it in Olam Haza too. I says, you want? He says, you think you have Olam Haza because you got the money. He says, but I got Torah. What gives more of a simcha? What gives more of a simcha? More of a simcha is the Torah. Somebody won a lottery in Eretz Yisrael, and he won millions of shkolim. And he went to Chaim Kanivsky, and he says to Chaim, he says, I'm very worried about Einar. He says, what are you worried about Einar? He says, because I just won millions of shkolim. He says, so? He says, did you finish Shas many times? He says, no. He says, did you finish Bavli, Yerushalmi, Kol Torah Kulo? Do you know Shas in your fingertips? He says, no. He says, so don't worry, no one's going to be jealous of you. No one's going to be jealous of you. What are you worried about? I know there's nothing to worry about. What's Ayinor? But about it takes Mesiras Nefesh, a great bard by Rav David Feinstein. David Feinstein said, why is it that Hashem made it so difficult for his Zvulun? And is he so a Zvulun relationship? And Hashem says, what's the symbol? What's Zvulun? Zvulun's going to make their millions by doing what? By going out to the dangerous seas. Ask for David Feinstein, a great kasha. I understand, if Zvulun's giving up their money to support the Yisachars, why can't you make it easy for them? Give them a nice office, give them a Fifth Avenue by Trump Tower, let them sit in with a nice oak desk and a comfortable leather chair, looking out at the Manhattan skyline with a nice checkbook, and let the money just roll in, and make it easy for them. They're giving up all the money anyway, make it easy for them. And David Feinstein says, you know when they have to go out to the rough seas with the pirates and the dangers? He says, because once they're sitting in that comfortable office, after a while they start saying, you know, these suckers, they owe me everything. I'm making it happen. I'm saving them. Oh, these suckers, they need me. I'm the one who's making it happen. But Don Feinstein says, you know what Hashem does? Go out to the rough seas. And when the boat is rocking to and fro in 30-foot waves, and the pirates are surrounding you, and the storms are coming your way, Hashem, please, I need your suckers. I need your suckers. B'schus v'Torah that I'm supporting. Please save me. Hashem says, that's why I'm sending them out to the rough seas. And they have to know what? I have to know, it's a 50-50. Yisachar is doing for Zvulun, and Zvulun is doing for Yisachar. It's a partnership, and but that's whatever the Mesiras Nefesh is. So even if a person's not a tzaddik, not a chassid, but he's the Moser Nefesh, and he lives a life as an incredible Baal Bitochen, he can have a chelek together with all the others. And we will not be embarrassed. So what's the idea of being embarrassed? Writes the Peirush Dovra Shalom. And what do I mean being embarrassed? Because anytime you have to ask someone for money, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing to have to knock on someone's door and ask them for money. It's embarrassing. But it's never embarrassing to ask Hashem. Since Hashem is the Kol Yochol, since Hashem is, it's a schus to get from Hashem. We want to get it from Hashem. So writes the Dovra Shalom, V'lo Mevosh, we're not going to be embarrassed to ask why, because Kiva Koba Takno, Kiva Chol, we were Boteach solely in Hashem Yisbarach. It's all Hashem Yisbarach, all the Bitzokah was in Hashem. And therefore, we're never going to be embarrassed. I know the Baal Shem Tov was once asked, He told us, Talmidim, every midah in the world could be used, bein l'tov, bein l'ra. Every single characteristic can be used for good or for bad. So the Talmidim said, Rebbe, what about midas apikorsis? When is it good for a Jew to be an apikoros? So the Baal Shem Tov tells us, I'll tell you when it's good to be an apikoros. The next time a Meshulach knocks on your door, so what is an Erlich Yid of Abitachon says? The Meshulach comes in and says, oh, Hachanos is calling, oh, please, Yid, I need $20,000, I got to marry off a daughter. So the Abitachon says, no, come into my house. You know what? Let's daven together. You take it to Hillel, I'll say it to Hillel. Let's learn a Mishnah together. Let's daven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should answer all your tefillos. That's what Erlich Yid does. Hashem says, be an apikoros. When the Ani, the Meshulach knocks on your door, right, the Baal Shem, that's when I want you to be an apikoros. Pretend like there's no God. You have to give him the check. You have to give him a piece of chicken. You have to give him what he needs. You got to pretend you're an apikoros. Don't start giving the bitachon spiel. Give him what he needs. You got to go. At the end of the day, but we say there's nothing to be missed. It's a privilege, a schus, and an honor to be boteach on Hashem and to get from Hashem and knowing it's from Hashem. Hashalach Hashem Yahavu Buchichakalachan. Someone who is so mechukul on Hashem is always going to be b'simcha. Moshe Rosen writes in Moshe Tech Abashas Kisavo, based on the Hershean world of phonetic cognates. You know, it's b'simcha. Someone who is always so mech on the Ribbon Hashem will always be b'simcha. If you're so mech on Hashem, you'll always be b'simcha. If you're ne'ezav, if you feel abandoned by God, you'll be ne'ezav. You'll be sad. But the way to be happy is, Hashalach Hashem, but cast your worries. What, me worry? Give your worries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I give your worries off to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a wife wakes up in the middle of the night, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and she sees her husband pacing across the floor, and he can't sleep, and he already took his volume, he took his wine, he's going with sugar. He says, honey, Yaakov, what's going on? He says, I owe a next door neighbor $5,000. I can't. I'm losing sleep. I'm worrying. I'm going with sugar. I says, honey, but you got to be able to sleep. Stop worrying about the $5,000. I can't fall asleep. Finally, the wife, she said enough. She opens up a window. She throws a rock at the next door neighbor's window. And she wakes up the next door neighbor. And David comes to the window. And she says to him, she says, David, my husband owes you $5,000. He's not paying you back. Forget about it. Shuts the window. Husband says, what did you just do? He says, let him worry about the $5,000. You stop worrying already. Give the worries over to him. Let him worry about how he's going to get his $5,000 back. And you go to sleep tonight. If you're somech on the Rosh, know it's all going to come from God, you'll always be b'simcha. Rav Moshe Feinstein, when people came to him for brachas, he said, what are you asking me for? He says, I'm not a Bamofa. He said, I don't do miracles. The lady says, no, I heard it. He says, only 2 miracles have I done in my life. Rav Moshe says, 2 miracles happen to me, but on a regular basis. Rav Moshe said, I never dozed off in the middle of my learning. It's a miracle. I never closed my eyes. I never dozed off in the middle of my learning. I never fell asleep. And it makes memories over a Gemara. I never fell asleep. I mentioned the true story. A friend of mine told me that he has a friend. A true story. Husband was looking for his Gemara Bava Metzia. And he couldn't find his Gemara Bava Metzia. He went around all the house. He looked in the shul, the cubbies, the chuli, and he couldn't find his Gemara Bava Metzia. And finally, a few days later, the African-American maid comes in with his Gemara Bava Metzia. He says, what's going on over here? What are you doing with my Shas Gemara Bava Metzia? Our lady says, I'll tell you the truth. She says, my husband told me he was suffering from insomnia. He couldn't fall asleep. And every time I walk by the room, I see late at night, and I'm in the house, and I see that you always fall asleep. You get a hot cup of tea, and you sit with this big Talmud volume, and you always fall asleep in front of the I figure this is conducive to sleep. It helps you fall asleep. I figure my husband's having trouble. So I took the book. I opened up the book. I said, just sit in front of the book. But it wasn't working. I says, I bought it back. I never fell asleep in the middle of my learning. And miracle number 2, anytime I touched a pillow, I always fell asleep right away. Now, Moshe takes the average person 7 minutes to fall asleep, according to Extraordinary Broken Facts. Takes the average human being 7 minutes to fall asleep. Moshe would fall asleep the second he touched a pillow. Why? He had no worries in the world. And he said, so why do we not fall asleep? We're thinking about how am I going to pay this bill and what's going to be with the spouse and the children, this, tomorrow's. That's it. The Moshe won't have to worry about Hashlach Hashem Yachol Yechakalacha. You're so much Talmud and Yerushalm. You'll always be b'simcha. That's what Teach b'simcha be'emes. So Eivus Tar Simcha Kinyan Mahem. The Olam V'lo Neivus. We won't be embarrassed. Keep B'chavat Tachim. We're going to Hashem. Mishan and Miftach Latzadikim. We want Hashem to be what? A Mishan and Miftach. What's a Mishan and Miftach? What's a Mepitach? So we want B'chavat Hashem. Miftach Latzadikim. Hashem is the Miftach. He's the security blanket. Kamecha. What's a Mishan? Something to lean on. Right? Rabbeinu Avram ben Agro. And in his Pesach Berachah Matzeilim, he says, Gevaltik, you know what a Mishon is? mission is a cane. It's like something to lean on. He says, what does that mean? Sometimes we falter in our bitachon. Life is difficult. And it's replete with nisayon after nisayon. Before Hashem asks us to be bali bitachon, you know what? He makes it easy. He gives us something to lean on. Before Klai Yisrael could go out of Mitzrayim, 210 years subjected to these abject, oppressive slavery conditions. How am I going to get out of it? Hashem says, you know what? First, I'll give you something to lean on. I'll give you Makkos. I'll show you a manifestation, an overt display of the omnipotence of the Almighty. And after the Makkos, now you got something to lean on. It's not foolproof, like the Rambam says. You could say, don't forget, you could say it's witchcraft sorcery, and until you get to Kriyas Yamsuf. But you know what? Right now, I'm giving you a mission. Hashem says, I'm giving you something to lean on so that you can gradually develop to becoming a Baal Bitachon. Hashem doesn't expect us to be a Baal Bitachon overnight. He sometimes gives us a little sprinkling, a little something, a little ray of light to show I haven't abandoned you. I'm still here. I'm still giving you something to lean on. Amei lebrocha to Hashem, right? So Rabbeinu Avraham and Agro, Hashem is the mishon. Before He asks us to be balei betochon, He suddenly gives us something to lean on, and then meila mivtach latzadikim. But that's the security blanket, the mivtach latzadikim. What do you mean, latzadikim? What about everybody else? Anyone who's a baal betochon is a tzaddik. If you're a baal betochon, like the Agro said, even if you're not the mamash tzaddik, but you're a baal betochon, that means that inside you recognize that everything in life comes solely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that sense, in the context of betochon, you are called a tzaddik, mamela mivtach latzadikim, and that is the bracha. That's bracha number 13. That's all tzaddikim, and we'll see after the Shemayim et Hashem. No shir next Tuesday night, right before Rosh Hashanah. We'll continue our Sesame Chuvah, the Yerushalayim es Tzemach David, and then we have the combo of Yerushalayim Machas Beis David. That's going to go ahead and bring up the rear until we get to Shema Kolenu, which is going to be the close. The Demilsa, the summation of all the preceding brachas.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.